Hello.
Good morning or good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Coming to you live. What?
Oh, hold up.
Are you there, Micah? Zook with you?
Yes. Nope, Luke's at a museum.
Oh.
Nerd.
Agreed.
Right on. I admire Luke for doing what he's doing. I just want to talk to him and understand how he's doing it.
I need to know what I will ask. I meant to ask last night at dinner, but I will ask tonight at dinner how he made this feasible.
How do you make something like that happen? Because it requires balls to leave your job, and then it requires some money so you can at least pay for gas and at least pay for the food at every place that you're going to.
Well, he's a bird, so it's a-
probably places to stay. He's got people all over the country that he knows
well,
that he could stay
here you
with.
Go. He sleeps in Walmart parking lots.
Oh, there you go.
Apparently, as long as the town allows it, there is most Walmart parking lots have like an RV space thing, and so.
Yeah, I've heard about that, and I've seen them in the back of the parking lot. You could park and stay there.
And so that's what Luke has been doing a bit.
It's like in the back of the building, or
no, like in the parking lot.
Depends on.
Yeah,
I don't think ours has one, but
is he filming this or chronicling it?
I think he's going to do a webcomic.
He's coming.
He could be like Craigslist Joe.
Yes.
Living off the land.
Webcomic Luke.
Yeah, there
Walmart
you go.
Walmart Luke.
Walmart Luke. Somebody might have already done that. Because I know my brother's best friend's parents do that. They have their RV.
Live in Walmarts?
Yeah, well, they have their RV, and when they go in the summertime, they travel all over the country, and they stay at a Walmart. They'll park their RV at the Walmart. What a great idea. I mean, that they let you do that because it makes maybe retirement feasible to be able to travel.
And what, I guess they figure you're going to come in for supplies and whatnot.
Yeah. Cause you pay for like a KOA camp. You'll pay a good space to park your car there.
Well, I think part of it is just if people know that Walmart is the place to do this, then you may not buy anything from Walmart, but you'll at least be in the parking lot if something happens and you need to buy something from Walmart. And everybody else knows. It's like a goodwill gesture.
Well, you'll have to buy something. Like, you have to keep food, and chances of you buying chips or drink for your trip to the next place, you have to do it.
Or gas, depending on which Walmart you're at.
Oh, yeah.
Walmarts have gas stations now.
There you go. So this is Geek Brunch. I am Mike.
I'm Micah.
And I'm Bill.
Bill.
And with us today is not Luke.
It's not Luke.
Nope. Even though he's living, not living, he's staying in my house.
And we didn't read anything in common this week, did we?
I doubt it.
Yeah.
I don't know what you read, so... We didn't schedule anything.
We didn't tag team anything. Well, I read Dia de los Muertos. I don't know how to pronounce that. But it was awesome.
Your ancestors are embarrassed.
Yeah, they're ashamed. I know what it means. Doesn't it mean Day of the Dead?
Yeah.
Woohoo!
I read that. We tag teamed on that one.
This one is a script by many different people. some of which I've heard of and some of which I have not. But the art is all by Riley Rossimo. Some of them, there's a few stories that doesn't have art.
Yeah, but by Riley Rossimo, he's like spearheading the whole thing.
He's
right?
Spearheading the whole thing.
It's his book. It's kind of interesting. I don't know if I've seen I'm sure there has been, but I don't remember a book where the artist is like an anthology by the artist where he gets different writers to come in and write the stories.
I didn't buy this or pre-order it, but I saw number two on the shelf and I was kind of blown away. I was like, I opened it up. The one thing that caught my attention is the cover. It's got a beautiful girl with a skeletal face, like the Day of the Dead, and he like outlines the skeleton. And the other thing that caught my eye are the colors and the size. The size is of a Golden Age book.
Mm-hmm.
And I thumbed through it, and I was like, wow, this is really different.
Well, you're a Rossimo fan, right?
I am a Rossimo fan, but I haven't liked everything that – I haven't liked all the scripts that he's drawn. But I've liked the art. Like Rebel Blood, I hit or miss with me. Like I followed it through, but I love the art, but the
– I didn't care for that one.
The story was – very weird, and I don't know how I feel about it now that I read the ending. But this one was awesome because it's an anthology of horror, like little snippets of Dead. Everything, I mean, the whole thing is like the Day of the Dead kind of thing. And
it all revolves around
Day of the Dead. And I read issue uno and issue dos.
What is that? That's 6 and 8, right?
And I just thought it was amazing. There's 3 stories in each book, and it really worked for me. It was like a Tales from the Crypt type story in each one of them. But man, I love the format.
Yeah, I love that Image every once in a while brings out the Golden Age size books, and they stand out.
Oh, hell yeah. And the paper quality? Oh, my God. It's awesome. The art pops on it because it doesn't have that glossy shit.
Oh, yeah. They did do a... I'm trying to find my copy, but I'm not able to. But, yeah, it was a specialized paper, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Meatier. Nice, meaty paper.
I didn't expect to like it, but because of this and because of other things... I have just decided to do a bill and go all in on the Image number ones because I'm just finding so many gems.
And
these are hard awesome to find now. Books. I mean, if you miss the gem, you're going to have to go digital. And man, my brain just can't. I can't enjoy it as much on the computer or on my iPad.
Yeah.
That's an old man talking. Get off of my lawn.
That's right. It's digital. I need to hold it in my hands. I don't want to pay for bites.
I can't smell the paper.
You guys need to watch it on a 40-inch screen, though. 42 inches. I think that's how big my TV is. You read comics on that, your whole life will change.
I don't know. When you get a book... bigger. When you get a book like this, it's on real nice paper, nice thick paper with a tactile feel to it. You can't simulate that.
It's got a smell. I could feel my fingers flipping through the pages. I like that. But it was cool. It had this first story was about a girl that had died who can visit the Deadlands kind of thing. The second story was a creepy story about this guy in the hospital, and he had done bad things to his family, and he got his at the end of the story. And then the third story had to do with a guy who lost his love and then later found her as a ghost, like she wasn't really there, but it was pretty awesome.
So which story did you like the best?
Art-wise, I liked the first one. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah, the art in the first one was
art,
the best.
Art was the best. Story-wise, I thought the love story at the end was phenomenal.
Yeah, I would agree.
And then in issue two, it continued. Some more cool stories, like of three. The stories weren't as good, in my opinion, but it had different art styles that I really jumped on. One was about an abusive cop. One was about two guys that were bad people that would go to the grave sites, and then they were haunted by one of the people that died. And I can't remember what the third one was.
Is that the one with the naked girl who turns things and controls the monsters or something like that? Is that in the third issue? One story from one of these.
Might be the third issue. The girl that visited the dead was the one issue. Oh, the one, maybe that's the first story, about that, this guy's searching for this girl, like he's a bounty hunter.
Oh, yeah.
And he eventually finds out that these people are like, this like witch doctor, voodoo priestess is doing things with the body, and she sends him like to his death, but he doesn't die, and he comes back and kills the voodoo queen.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was that one. But I think what I enjoy is like the stories are kind of just like straightforward horror stories, but the experience of the art, the format, just blew me away. And the color, it was just, it's something that really grew on my eyes. And I've added it to my pull list. I think there's only one issue left, though. It was great.
So it's basically Assist.
Yeah, you didn't enjoy it as much as I did, right, Bill?
I liked it, but the art kind of, or not the art. The art was really good, but the writing, some of the writing was a little, didn't really pull me in as much as I would have liked. So it didn't blow me away.
Yeah.
Presentation was awesome. I'll give it that.
I was blown away. So, Micah, you got something you want to talk about?
I almost hung up on you. Whoops. I had it muted because I was drinking some water and my straw is really loud, so I didn't want to like the whole podcast.
You guys hear me when I'm sipping?
I hear you when you chew.
No. Oh, that was Bill. That was
Mike. Jeez. Heard that one.
But no,
we're running to get I'll be right back.
Oh, what's that? Hi, Bill.
I'll be back in 2 seconds.
All right.
Be back.
He's got to get something to sip on.
Out of things to sip on. I read something. I think it's a DC comic. Well, not like a DC proper, but I think... No, it's not. It's Dark Horse. Never mind. I just assume that every video game tie-in book is a DC book.
Really?
They do
a lot in that back section. Yeah. A
bunch of them. Yeah, they had like... Yeah, for a while. So I just assume that most of them are, but I read a different book that wasn't very good. It wasn't bad, though. I read, it's called Dragon Age, Those Who Speak. And I guess it's a series that has something to do with a video game of some sort.
I was going to say, that sounds like a video game.
I never played the game, but I got all three issues for like 75 cents. So I figured, why not? And yeah, so the story's about...
Is it new?
No, this is like... The game came out years back, so... This had to have come out around the game, right? Oh, but hold on. 2012. Maybe not.
That's not that old.
That is a while ago.
the game came out in like 2008, 2009, I think. But this book must be...
See, when you're young like Micah, each year...
It seems like a decade away.
For Mike and I, it's like a couple weeks.
Yeah, this was... issue 3 was published in November 2012. Wow. Wow, it dropped in price.
November 2012.
It wasn't getting rid of
that's
shit.
About, that's almost 6 months ago.
Oh, God. My bad. Okay. All right, I'm going to, before I talk about this, I got to Google the video game first so I can make sure that I'm not like, completely out of my mind. 2009. All right, the first one came out in 2009. So I'm not that far off. I figured that
the comic book assumption, out, yeah. Looks like there's a bunch of versions, though, or editions.
Uh-oh.
Of the game.
Yeah, okay, there's
Ultimate Edition.
Well, that's always like, they're just the game, and then they add extra doodads on it so you can buy it again if you're one of those nerds. Or, like, if you didn't buy the first time, do it again with more stuff.
So this is like a D&D type nonsense, I mean, book?
Yeah. It's all,
hey, right? Keith Knutson, that was for you.
Okay, so Dragon Age, the game, from what I understand, a similar type of game to the old Baldur's Gates. I've not played Dragon Age, so I don't know if it is or not, but I know the developers, some of the developers were the same developers who made some of the old Dungeons & Dragons PC games back in the day, like the Neverwinter Nights stuff, and the Keith knows what I'm talking about. Nobody else does, though. So, yeah, it's kind of like that. This story doesn't have any dragons. There is a dwarf, but he just looks like a really short
person. Doesn't it? Wait, so. It doesn't have any dragons?
No.
It's called Dragon Age.
It's someone who may be the son of a dragon. Maybe. Or who's great-great-great-great-grand-person or something. It's really stupid. But they were cheap, and so I couldn't help myself because I don't know why. So
could I ask you a question? Is this the Dragon Age, Those Who Speak, or is this the Dragon Age Until We Sleep?
No, Those Who Speak.
Okay.
What is Until We Sleep?
Or what about For Those
Until
We
Sleep is a 2013 book.
There's another one?
And Those Who Speak is the 2012 one. I just wanted to see which one you were reading.
And then the 2015... Those who sleep. And wait. Oh, 2016 is comic? Don't make a peep.
Don't make a peep.
I'll say the porn comic is Those Who Skeet, and it's
those living on the streets.
Dragon Age, living on the streets.
Living in the streets.
So, no. I'm reading Those Who Speak. Now you got me confused. Those Who Speak. That's the 2012 series. It's about a busty pirate who apparently stole something at some point in time, because that's what pirates do. And she goes to a party and stabs people. And then she's on a boat, and then she gets kidnapped. And then you get... this really awesome scene, and by awesome, I mean not awesome at all, where they tell her backstory because she's in a prison cell, and there are these magical elf creatures, I think, who look like goats, who want to convert her to their religion, and so they do this by talking to her and getting her past out of her. But then she breaks one of their necks, or tries to at least, and then there's more fight scenes, and then they're back on a boat. And I guess I would care slightly at all if I had played the game, or any of the games, or knew the backstory or the world. But without having the knowledge going into it, it's like just scene after scene of stupid fight scenes. The art's alright, but it's like generic fantasy comic book art. I can't tell who drew it.
I'm sure they just hired someone to... dude,
Chad Harden. Never heard of him. But yeah, this book, though, these three books have panty shots as often as possible, and like I was confused because I thought like I wasn't reading a manga, but apparently I was.
Is that like in the video game?
I don't believe so. Not to this extreme. Like seriously, it's all damn time. Like the main character is always bending over to have her cleavage in the camera, and then bending over the other way because she doesn't wear a lot of clothes, and she has like costumes that are very scantily clad. And I think the purpose is just titillation, I guess.
Isn't that the whole purpose of these D&D games?
That's why
so Keith likes. Fantasize about doing elves and.
That's what Keith likes about them.
Bar maidens,
wenches. He likes to get his drizzed.
Dark elves.
Busty
elves. What else? What is there besides elves? Dwarves? Busty dwarves? Busty are there dwarf women?
There's midget vampire dwarves.
I'm sure they're busty too.
Sexy dwarf women.
Sexy dwarf.
No, they call them lady friends.
Sexy dwarf lady friends.
Yeah.
So, don't read
and then
that.
Then I take off her bird's ear.
Yes.
Roll I 7. Yes.
And her cleavage explodes out of a dress. Boom.
So wait, this was a role playing too, or what?
What?
Is this a role playing thing?
I think the game is.
Oh, but the game is more for video console, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like an adventure type game, right?
No, but it's not like one where you sit and roll dice. You know,
it's not a pen and paper one, even though I think they may have made one after. I don't know if there's a pen and paper RPG for Dragon Age. And I bet there is. And there is. So if you want to, you can play through Dragon Age with your friends around in a circle.
And you too can sit in your panties.
And you too could have plenty of panty shots in your own head.
The maiden bends over.
Now roll the dice.
Roll the dice.
How far does she bend over?
It's a bad dice roll. You came too soon. She laughed at you.
And she laughs and puts on a cloak. Visibility.
Visibility cloak. Runs away.
Damn, you didn't get lucky.
She stabs you with her goat horn.
You didn't get the dark elf, man.
Nope.
Damn. I would have just rolled an 8. I would have had the power. Now I know why Keith likes it so much.
Yep.
You just never explained it to me. Like.
Now you're interested.
Now I'm interested.
So yeah, that's Dragon Age. If you're really into comic books with cleavage and you don't have the internet, I guess, then pick up Dragon Age, Those Who Speak.
Well, can you take a picture of one of those scenes and send it to my phone? I want to see it.
Can do. You just give me some time. You know what? Better yet, I'll just see if I can get it on the computer. See if I can get you one.
You know, I hear Alan White's a pretty filthy dungeon master.
That's what I've heard.
That's just what I've heard.
He learned a new song recently that
that he sings while he while you're on your quest.
Yep.
And you break into song.
So Bill, you got anything?
Sure. Let's see.
Now we're beginning books that begin with D. Let's see.
Oh, Mike has D books.
Well, I got Dio de. I got this man.
Dia de los Muertos.
Dragon Age. What is another? This episode has been brought to you by the letter D.
Oh, son of a bitch! I don't have any D's. Damn. No D's. I got A, E, T, F, H, G. Man.
Well, let's see what you got. What do you got?
I'll start with A.
All right.
I read After Earth Innocence.
After Earth Innocence. I never heard of this.
Is this a movie tie-in or something?
It's a movie tie. It's a movie tie-in from Dynamite. It's a one-shot.
Oh, of course.
A movie tie-in for what? There's a movie called that?
It's a movie called After Earth. Coming out in fall of 2012.
Oh, so it's like a prequel?
I thought it was coming out summer.
Summer of 2013.
Is it made for TV?
No, it's a big budget one starring what's his face?
Will Smith and his kid.
Oh, I have seen the preview for it. It looks pretty good.
Yeah, and I got this at a con. I didn't know what it was. I just thought it was a Dynamite one shot in the cheap bin, so I'm gonna get it. Just because I can't pass up on it. And it was good. It kind of sets up the story. It takes the main character in it is a kid, and his father's in the like Rangers or whatever in this world. So it takes place in 1,000 years after Earth, where all the people of Earth had to leave, and they had to go to another planet because the Earth was too toxic to support human life. So 1,000 years ago, everyone left Earth. Or actually, it's 966 years after Earth, this book. And I think the movie's like 1,000 years. So this is like right before the book or the movie where there's this kid and his father, and the kid is actually the Will Smith character. So the movie is when this kid is grown up, but this shows when he's younger. And they're remembering back to when the humans first got to this planet, and they were there for a while and everything was good, but then they separated into there was the scientist group and the religious group, and then they started clashing because the religious group was saying, so the scientists were evolving their technology and coming up with new things and building up this technology, and the religious people said, no, you can't do that. That's what destroyed everything in the first place, so we don't want that to happen again. And they're fighting, and then all of a sudden aliens come and attack them.
Yeah, alien.
as usually happens in these situations.
That's always happens all the time.
So then the book kind of talks about the aliens a little bit, and they're trying to figure out how to beat the aliens. And during the first attack, they managed to shoot down one of the planes. So they're going to use the look at the technology on the plane to try and come up with a way to beat them. And I don't remember how this thing ended. It ended that story. So they came up with this new weapon that they could use against these enemies. And then at the end of this book, the father's going to go out on patrol to keep fighting this group. Oh, and then they mention that. So they fought off these first aliens, but the aliens came back with another alien race to do more damage. So, and then I think the movie is them going back to Earth. I think that's what the movie premise is. Yeah. So it was good. I enjoyed it. I didn't really, not knowing anything about it other than there was some movie, and I didn't even know if the movie had come out yet or not. I enjoyed it. I'm trying to look at who did it, but I don't even see any credits.
Michael John Friedman and Robert Greenberger. It doesn't list an artist, though.
The art wasn't bad.
Well, I just get that out of my database.
Yeah. And I guess those two guys are writing the official prequel novel with Peter David and a series of short stories. Yeah, and those three are writing a series of stories.
Storch stories?
Storch stories.
And the Screets?
Oh, here we go. Art and Color by Benny Lobel.
Benny Lobel. I'll add that to my database here.
There you go.
And then I'll submit it as an update. Benny.
B-E-N-I.
B-E-N-I. Oh, he was in there already. L-O-B-E-L? All right, cool. Benny.
Art and Color. It was good. I enjoyed it.
And then I just put right-click on it, and I say Submit New or Corrected Data, and it's out.
All right.
Submit. Thank you, Bill. Submit. Comic Base thanks you. I get points for that.
Oh, do you?
Yeah.
What do the points get you?
They give you badges of... Meaning badges nothing. It's a badge of honor that means nothing. I'd like credit. If I submit enough, I wish it would give me credit towards my next update. Or the new release.
I know, that's what it should. Give you something.
Well, I'm sure if you really do it, they'll do stuff. But I'm just the occasional guy that enters in data like that doesn't exist. like Alan's book, or you know, like something I buy, like Mythica. Like I bought that at a con. I'll add that because they're not available through previews.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, so it'll be in the database. So when mm-hmm. someone else buys it at a con, they can.
Yeah.
Cool.
So that sounds interesting, especially now that I saw the preview. I just didn't know what the movie was. The movie seems something like cool, like post-apocalyptic and weird, which I like.
Yeah. So it looks like I think the movie takes place, so when this kid is growing up, so whatever, 20, 30 years after this book, and I think they're going to go try and get Earth back or something like that. It was interesting though. It got me excited for the movie. So
cool deal.
Nice fan service you sent me, Micah.
Nice what?
Butt shot.
Oh, is it? Did he send that? I want to see this.
Yeah. Click on the link.
That's no mistake in that one.
Oh, that's cool.
Something like. That's not the only one in the book.
Now I know why Keith likes to read these books.
If he had just shown you this before.
Don't worry, Michelle. I'm just looking at my fantasy game.
What's that you're reading? Oh, it's just some D&D stuff.
D&D stuff. I don't want
to see that. Some drizzt. That's all I got.
It's a girl with panties going after dude with armor on and a big axe.
And a big axe. An axe bigger than both of them put together. But
she had no weapons. What the hell is she going to do?
She slides under him.
Oh, sure.
Steals the knife that's on its hip. And I think stabs him in the side.
How are you going to steal that knife in his hip? Like from behind?
Yeah.
That would take a while to get that knife out. It's a long knife. You can't just yank that out.
She's a busty pirate.
That's not a knife. That's a blade.
It's a sword. A busty
pirate. It becomes a knife in her hand. It shrinks to fit her.
That's like a chopping axe.
He's just slow, really slow.
He's a really slow dude.
Got so much armor on.
He's only slow because he rolled a 1. He rolled a 10, and he would have been okay.
If he had rolled a natural 20, he'd be on fire.
Yeah, I guess I just don't get it because I don't understand the laws and universes.
Neither does Harley. Harley does not understand it either.
Because she probably rolled like a 13 or something, right?
Yeah.
What do those numbers go up to? 17, 25, something like that?
I'm in 20.
She probably rolled a 20. Oh, you slide under his legs and twist around and pull the sword from his belt before he can react. Wait, what does he roll? Oh, 1. Oh, yeah. He's too slow to react. He drops the axe accidentally.
See, hold on. Let me see exactly what happens. Okay, so she slides under him. All right, so the sword that's on his hip in the next panel, they don't show what happened, but it's already in her hand before she's already slidden all the way underneath them. So she has the force, I believe, as well. She has force powers.
She can't pull the blade down.
No. And then she jumps into the air. Her body snaps in half. And then she stabs a guy in the shoulder while someone else looks on, like another goat elf chick looks on. So.
You say a goat elf?
Yeah, dude, goat elf. Hold on, more pictures are coming. How else are you guys going to understand what I'm going through?
Fascinating.
I've got one.
What do you have?
I don't know if busty goat elves in it?
No, this one's called Harvest. It's from Image Comics.
Okay, which one? Oh, that's the I read the first one. It was good.
AJ Lieberman and Colin Lemore is the artist, and this is freaking awesome. I read all 5 issues, and it is great. The scene opens up with this guy getting ice, and you're like, why is he getting ice? He's getting lots of ice. And he's bringing the ice to some guy that's hooked up in this plastic room, like in a warehouse. And he's hooked up to medical equipment. And you're like
plastic sheets hanging around.
Plastic sheets around. And they're like, what's he going to be doing? And then the scene cuts to the past and you learn a little bit. Unfortunately, you don't learn a lot about this this family, like if this little kid is the surgeon or what. And I'm waiting for a conclusion, but five kind of leaves you hanging.
Oh, there's more than five?
Yeah, well, five is the first trade, but I don't know if they're continuing it. It hasn't been solicited yet. But then you cut to a scene, and there's a surgeon and his assistant, and they all, it looks like it's in a hospital, but it might not be. And they're cutting out organs, like a ton of organs, and you're like, well, why is this going on? And this one doctor's like, I can't do this anymore. I just want to tell the board I'm leaving and not going to do it anymore. And the girl that's his assistant just pulls out a gun and freaking blows his brains out. So they're harvesting organs and selling them to the rich. They're kind of like taking them from the poor and selling them to the rich. And then the scene cuts to a doctor who's with two hookers, and he looks like he's doing coke and a lot of drugs. And then he goes in and performs a surgery on a girl that's been impaled by pipes. And during the middle of the surgery, his nose just starts bleeding and he passes out because of the drugs he was on. So he loses his board license and everything and has to go to Japan. And in Japan, he saves some girl's life. You don't know who this girl is, but he saves the life of a rich Japanese businessman. And she comes into play later on. But this organization finds out about him, and they hire him to be the new doctor because they killed the last one. And man, does this series just take off from there. It is brilliant. I mean, it is so good. Because that Japanese girl comes into play later on too. And but that's essentially what they're doing, is the rich are paying for organs that they get on these lists, and they can't get a kidney when they need a kidney or they're going to die. So they pay this black market guy and he'll go get you a kidney. And they keep it all hidden from everybody, but this doctor turns it around and tries to attack the organization that's doing this. And it's really good. I highly recommend it.
Yeah, I read the first issue and I liked it. What is that? Has that guy written anything before?
Yeah, AJ Lieberman. I don't know exactly what, but I can find out real quick. I just type in Harvest.
And this episode is sponsored by whatever the thing's called.
Comic Base 16 Archive Edition. He's done some Batman Gotham Knights, which I've read. He's done Cowboy Ninja Viking. I have not read that. Have you?
I read the first issue.
Yeah, he did on the show. We didn't read it on the show.
I read it on the show.
It was a live reading. He's done Detective Comics and Harlequin and Martian Manhunter, second series. So he doesn't have he's got a lot of he's done another book called Term Life, which I think I own, but I haven't read. It was a hardcover. So, was Cowboy Ninja Viking good?
I like the first one. That had
I like the
Riley Rossimo art.
Oh, there you go.
Well, then I had to check that one out.
It's only, it's like, it's not black and white. It's like blue and white, I guess. Blue and stuff. It's an interesting idea.
Yeah.
Art-wise.
This book was really good. I mean, it read like a motion picture that you just freaking were dying to figure out what was going on. And it got more convoluted as it went on. And it was good convoluted. I mean, it was really good.
Yeah, I didn't pick up. They brought out a hardcover, but they haven't brought out a trade yet.
Yeah, the downside is I think it leaves it like, it leaves it open. It leaves it open-ended, and if this is it, I want to know more about what's going on. And especially with the kid. Like, he keeps on seeing himself as a kid, or the kid and the little girl are always there, and I don't understand that, and I want to know what the hell that's about. But he's a really good surgeon, even when he is drugged out. Like, he knows what he's doing. That's cool. But he's kind of like, he turns into like a Robin Hood, where he like, well, he finds out who has the organs that this corporation gave to the rich, and then he puts, he takes the organ back and then donates it to society of somebody who's on the list that needs it. And it's basically starts a war between him and the corporation, and it's awesome. It is cool. It's a book that gets me excited to talk comics. Just like that other one. It's good stuff. What else you guys got? Micah, you got anything?
Of course. I got... Oh, wait, hold on.
Oh, did you send any more shots here?
Well, it's no—it's not a panty shot, but it's a picture of her stabbing a dude in the shoulder and the goat elf. Yeah. It's a goat elf. I'm trying to remember the last time I talked about Ultimate Spider-Man on the show.
It's been a while, but you get them in like, you talk about them when you get like three of them in a row or something.
Yeah. All right. So most recently, I think we were reintroduced to Venom. And I don't even remember what Ultimate Venom is right now. Like, I don't know who's in the suit or whatever. It's been a while. But Ultimate Venom's out there wreaking havoc, and he's chasing Miles Morales around the city. And I think before this, in a one-shot issue that I didn't pick up, Venom killed Betty Brant. Is that her name?
Yeah, she's the one that works at the Daily Bugle.
The Bugle, yeah. Well, Venom killed her.
But this is Ultimate, so I don't know. Does she work at the Bugle?
Well, I don't know. Well, I think, no, she got fired from the Bugle. But it's her. It's... definitely her. Like,
what issue is this one, Micah?
I'm on 21. Okay. She dies in like 15.1 or 16.1 or something like that. Something I didn't get because I don't care. And Venom is chasing after Miles, and Gwen Stacy and Mary Jane figure out that, I think Gwen already knew, but Gwen tells Mary Jane, who Spider-Man is, and they go over to visit him because Venom's on the loose, and they want to stop Venom before, like, he does any more damage. So you get like all the cutesy scenes of Gwen and MJ hanging out with Miles and Gonk, it's a fun pairing of like those two, like the two kids, because they're not super geniuses. And, like, most times you spend all this, like, this much time around, like, 13-year-olds in comics. It's, like, Franklin and what's-her-face. What is his sister's name? The Richards kids.
Valeria?
Valeria, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like that. So you're not actually reading 13-year-olds. You're reading, like, super genius 13-year-olds. So, but Miles and his buddy are actually kind of awesome for being 13 and trying to handle the situation the best they can. But like, Miles' dad ends up getting injured by Venom somehow, and he's in the hospital, and Miles is trying to figure out what to do, and Venom shows up again and eats people in the sewers. It's awesome. Like, it's good old-fashioned horror Venom. There's just ooey, icky, gooey stuff everywhere.
I was going to ask what he looks like.
Oh, he looks like a mess. He looks like a big pile of gross. Like, he's massive. So, like, it doesn't look like a bigger version of Black Suited Spider-Man. It looks like
doesn't look like a latex suit.
No. It looks like a monster. It looks like a gooey monster. There's a scene where there's a guy, like, after Spider-Man ends up shocking Venom, and Venom runs away because Spider-Man has electricity powers, sort of. Venom is like in the sewers, and someone hears him, and like this dude bends over to see if the guy is all right. Like, there's somebody in the sewer, and Venom just sends tentacles out of the sewer, busts the gate open, and then swallows one dude, and then does like the horror movie grab for another guy, and the guy is like, oh no, and gets just sucked down into the sewer grate. It's kind of cool. It's kind of cool. But like, then there's all the scenes of Gwen and MJ talking to Miles, trying to figure out like what's up and what the deal is, and then angry cop lady shows up and they're all like have a fight with her. And that's it. And they run away, and then because it's Ultimate Spider-Man and it's Brian Michael Bendis doing the most Brian Michael Bendis thing ever, like this will go on for another 6 years. So. But it's cool. I like it. Doesn't bother me.
Who's that on the cover? It has Spider-Man swinging, and then there's a girl he's holding.
Like, it's a random girl.
Oh.
I thought it was Dazzler at first. Like,
I thought it might be Gwen Stacy, but...
I mean, it might be, but that's not what she looks like inside the book.
Oh, okay.
But maybe it is.
So how's the art by Sarah Pichelli? Do you still like that?
I still like it. And it seems to be on time. Well, it's on time. So,
what number are they up to now?
21.
They're in an arc called Venom Wars.
Yeah. I guess that's what it's called. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, it's got Venom War.
All over the side of the book. I could have looked at that.
The next cover looks pretty awesome because it's got like you said, the Venom. It actually has a picture of that crazy shit.
Yeah. It's
and he's got Miles plastered to the wall and he's like ready to eat him.
Yeah, like this Venom is really gross.
Yeah.
It's cool.
Good deal.
So yeah, I'm a fan still. And it's on time. I'm a fan of on time books.
Is that subscription still like a really good deal? Like,
yeah.
You get, okay.
Well, it's still
a good
deal.
You don't get it from Marvel Direct, do you?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think so. Yeah. It comes in directly from Marvel.
I think all the subscriptions are directly from the companies.
Yeah.
Well, some of the subscriptions I hear from Bob Breitel, he gets from some third party.
You can buy them through third parties, but the issues themselves come from the company.
Yeah, but sometimes those third parties offer like huge discounts.
Ah.
That's how I get my Batman.
That's how you get your Batman?
Yeah. A cheap subscription.
Oh, because Tango, you got one from Tango or something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, that's where.
Yeah, my Tango one.
Yeah.
Tango mostly. I don't see. I don't have anything from Marvel on Tango. I mostly see DC books through them.
Yeah, I've never seen Marvel.
So
through anyone else, they may not do it through other people.
I guess
they do, because I think you can get it through like magazines.com or something.
Oh,
but I don't know. I don't know if the deals are any better than.
But Tango has ridiculous deals sometimes, or it's like.
Yeah, they got the super deals on the
DC. It's like $12 for a year and a half worth of books. You're like, well, I guess, why not?
All right, Bill, you're next. What do you got? Hit me.
Hit me. Let's see. Oh, where to go next? Let's see. Okay, I'll do a trade. I read several trades.
Whoa.
I had three trades.
Look at you.
Let's start with... We'll do this one. So this one was awesome. And I talked about number one before. Think Tank.
Mm-hmm.
Volume 1 from Image Comics / Top Cow Comics. Written by Matt Hawkins. Art by Rasan Ekdal. Or something of that nature. So this is the one... It's black and white. It's about a super smart guy who's kind of a rebel who works for the government in the government think tank. And he's way smarter than all the other people there and doesn't care about the rules. And there's nothing they can really do about it. And he decides he's having a crisis of conscience where he can't take working for this company anymore because he knows everything he's doing is being used to kill people. And he was recruited he was recruited when he was, I think, in high school. So, and they gave him, you know, we'll pay for college and then you'll have a job and you'll get tons of money. So of course and you'll have access to they took them to like the place where they do the research, and they showed them, you know, technology that doesn't even exist in the real world yet. So of course this, any kid is going to be like, awesome, let's do it. So now he's at the point in his life where he's like, I don't want to do this anymore. So this book, this first volume, and this is about him trying to work as on his escape from this place. And it's really, really good. The writing is really intelligent and interesting. The characters are good, and like the black, the art is black and white and like a ink wash, and it's really nice too.
I have that.
The technology is awesome too that they use in it. And it's cool in the trade. I don't know if this was in the individual issues. It probably was. He talks about. At least based on existing technology.
I think I lost you for a second, Bill.
I lost Bill, but I wasn't sure if it was only me.
No, I lost him for about 2-3 seconds.
Yeah.
Damn Skype.
Yeah.
Okay, so yeah, so at the back he's talking about all the different weapons and concepts that he uses in the book, and then he explains where he got the ideas from and gives like links and further information on them. So I thought that was pretty neat.
Cool deal. That sounds, I gotta jump in on that one.
Yeah, it's good.
The image thing is sucking me in, I tell you.
They're doing some good stuff.
And that leads me to my next book. I'm gonna talk a little bit about sex, baby. Sex number 2. This is that series from Joe Casey and Petor Kowalski. And it sets place in the future. And it was like the city that this guy protected as a superhero in the past. And now he's in the present. And he seems to be like wanting to go the other direction. Like the city's gone to pot since he took his hiatus. And it's turned into like Vegas, and it's very sexual, and there's some crazy shit going on in here, and I like it. And it's interesting because Joe Casey tends to write some good back matter. I hear Joe Casey's like well-to-do. I can't remember if it's him or somebody else, but like. He's got money. He can write what he wants to write.
Really?
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
And I like what he's doing here because this guy's going into this mode where I don't know if he's going to be a sexual deviant or what, but there is a lot of nakedness in this book and a lot of action, actually. And they haven't, even though they're playing the game with the superhero thing and the villains and stuff, you're not, it's not part of the book yet. It's, there's a mention of it, but it's not part of the book. And the art is really, really nice. I'd recommend Sex. Yes.
I would also recommend Sex. I haven't read the book, but just in general.
If you haven't tried it out yet. If you haven't tried it out, it's worth your while.
I think it's worth it. I mean, don't do anything silly, like, you know, but just give it a shot.
Use protection.
Protection.
Or virtual sex in the future.
Hey, listen, if you can get the, like, what is that shit in Star Trek called?
Holodeck?
Yeah, if you can get that shit to work for you, then by all means. Maybe if you need to get a real doll, like, you know, go for it.
How is a real doll, Micah? I haven't tried that yet.
I haven't either, but I've heard they're awesome. Heard they're real, but not. That's the creepiest shit in the world to me, actually. Like, the whole idea just creeps my shit all the way out.
Build a friend.
Yeah.
OMAC.
At least those are like talk to you or something. Like, God, real.
You can't tell the difference on a build a friend. They only have bombs in them.
Yeah.
But they act and they'll be your friend. They'll be your date. Oh, but Sex is a really, really good book.
I thought it was all right. I'm not a big Joe Casey fan.
I like what he's done, at least recently.
I didn't hate it, though. So there you go.
What else you got, Micah?
All right, here's one. So, off in Archie Comics land, not in, like, off in their video game worlds, they took their two video game books, and they're doing a mashup, which, maybe the dumbest thing of all time. And so, it's a 12-issue series, and I think you have to read all the books to get it. I don't even know what all books you need.
Sonic?
It's Sonic and Mega Man for certain, but I don't know if it's just Sonic and Mega Man, or if it's Sonic and Sonic Universe and Mega Man.
I think it's all three.
Okay, so that makes sense, because it says the next issue of Mega Man is part 4. I'm debating whether or not I want to look at the Sonic books, because I quit when they reset. But the reset was cool. That was a good way for me to stop reading it, because I just thought it was a good ending.
Can you read Mega Man by itself and still get the
context? Well, the first issue you can, but I'm not sure. I haven't gone any further. So what? Like, it does the it does the stupid thing where like the worlds worlds are connected now somehow, and these evil scientists have made a way for you to go. Well, the good scientists made a way to go back and forth, and the evil scientists are using it to their advantage, and but the heroes don't know each other, so they're fighting each other for no good reason. And so the first issue is just them fighting each other. And while they're busy fighting each other, because they're stupid, the bad guys from both worlds are going in and wreaking havoc. The art is really good, but the art is always good in these books, because it's simple and cute. And Jamal Peppers is cool people, so... like it has that going for it. But, like, the storyline, I'm not sure. I think they're all stupid. I think all these stories are always dumb. Not always, but... like...
You really dig, though, the video game comic medium.
I really dig the cute kid ones. I just happened to pick up Dragon Age for, like, 75 cents for all three issues. So...
yeah, but I think you navigate to the, you like that. If there are more video game stuff that were like that, you'd do it.
I probably would, because I'm familiar with those worlds or whatever. But like, the other thing is, right, like, there are more, well, Mega Man's different because Mega Man and Sonic are going for very different styles of storytelling than you get from basically the rest of the American industry right now, sort of. It's like, even though they are like these story arcs, they're it's a much longer form thing they're going for. It's like kind of issue by issue. You can read each of them individually without having too much trouble, and they're building on stuff. But it's because it's cute and for kids and all that, and the market is different than the market is for rest of the comic books, because they can put their books in other places, and they make most of their money not from comic book stores and that kind of thing. Like, the style of storytelling is slightly different. But outside of Mega Man and Sonic, what you get, it's the same thing with Star Wars books, where like they're more prone to miniseries, and they're so that's easier to kind of like pick up and get into it from wherever, and you're gonna get in and out. And hopefully you're not worried about like stupid cliffhangers and crossovers as much and sort of these things. So you can easily go in there and find the book and leave whenever it's done. And hopefully find a decent trade of it. But the problem is that I feel like a lot of the video game books just flat out suck.
I don't think I read much of it because of...
they suck.
Because I don't play video games, but I have dipped my toe into the superhero ones, like Injustice, and it's awesome.
That's a different, like that's not a video game book, right? Like,
well, it's based on the video game.
Yeah, the video game is based on the comics. Like, it's just another alternate universe comic book.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. they're not making new characters in a new world. It's all the characters you know. Just, they took Dark and Gritty to a different Dark and Gritty place than they've done with other stuff, and so... Like, it's still Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman, and so forth, but, like, just super dark versions of them for this super dark Mortal Kombat game. It isn't like Dragon Age is... They created an entire different world, and then they put a stupid... I really stupid comic book into it.
And it seems like every month, I know DC has a lot of video game books they're bringing out. Like every month, there seems like there's a new one.
Yeah, so many of them suck. It's a surprise.
And I just read it as a promotion for the video game.
The thing is, I feel like it. I'm confused sometimes because I'm not sure what market they're going for. Right? Because are they going for the fans of the game, and is it just fan service at that point in time? But if that's the case. I don't know what the crossover is between people who are playing those games and who are going to read those books, because like they have been conditioned over years to understand that this comic book is not going to be a good representation of the game they want to play and be involved with.
I read Silent Hill and I've never played the game and I liked it. Like, I think it was IDW that put a couple of Silent Hill titles out, and I enjoyed that.
Well, that seems like... Who are the creators? That seems like an easier thing to do, because Silent Hill... I guess you wouldn't be telling the story of any of those games.
That one's had a movie on it, and I haven't watched the movie either.
Wait. The first one is only mediocre. The second one... Like, I think there's a second movie, and I heard it's awful.
But what I've read, I think it's okay. Like, I've heard good things. I mean, you obviously... It seemed a little more negative on it, but I've heard good things about like Sonic and Mega.
Sonic is good. I'm just not interested in the crossover. And I just stopped reading Sonic because I had read 112 issues of it in a row.
It must have fans if it's gone that long.
They're in like popular. They're in the 230s, 240s of issues. I mean, like.
It's the longest running comic book of all time.
I wish that the DC would never renumber.
It is. You know what? It is now. Because, we don't have...
Hellblazer anymore.
Yeah, Hellblazer's gone. And so that's it, right?
Spawn's up there.
Oh, Spawn is Spawn up there?
Yeah, Spawn's...
Where's Savage Dragon?
Savage Dragon is in the hundreds, but...
Yeah, it's almost at 200, I think. Spawn's over 200.
So we have Spawn and Sonic.
You gotta give him props. There have been times when Spawn has like been late and stuff, but for the most part, that book comes out. You know what I mean?
Yep.
I
feel similarly about
Spawn. Savage Dragon will have like 3 month breaks and stuff, but that book still comes out, and I'm glad they keep the numbering. I'm a fan of the numbering growing. No, Bill's not. He wants number ones. Ralph ain't going to read it. He ain't going to read no 200. He's like, fuck that. If it ain't number one, I ain't trying. But I like the growing number, and I like when they put the number at the top. Putting the number on the back of the issue or on the bottom sucks balls.
I agree.
When you file comics.
Yep.
It's bullshit. Why would you do that? You can put it up there. There's plenty of space.
You hate the reader.
Yeah. All right, Bill. What's another trade, man?
Another trade from Valiant. Bloodshot, Volume 1.
Oh, yeah. I can tag team on this one because I've read the single issues.
By Dwayne and Manuel Garcia.
Straczynski? No. This is the guy who worked for DC, right?
Yeah, it's Straczynski.
Yeah, it's Straczynski.
Yeah.
I think he worked for Marvel. He did Cable.
Was he a writer?
He's a writer.
Yeah, he's a writer.
He's like a crime writer, isn't he?
Yeah, he did novels.
Oh, he does do DC. He was doing Birds of Prey.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Birds of Prey. So this is the... everyone knows the reboot of Valiant. This collects the first four issues, and it's awesome.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad you liked it. I didn't think you would.
It's very violent. Why wouldn't I like it? So the story is it's the Bloodshot character who is a soldier who has been infected or injected with these nanites who are able to repair his body when he gets injured.
From Project Rising Sun.
Yeah. And in this book, he is trying to figure out who he is because they mess with his memory. So he's trying to figure out who he is and what's real in his past and what's not real.
They fuck with him because they give him similar scenarios, but they change things.
Yeah, they give him false pasts. So he when he remembers the past when he's on a mission, he thinks he's doing it because he wants to get home to his son, but he really doesn't have a son. And then the next time he'll go out, he'll have another whatever memories will help the mission is what they give him to motivate him in the mission. And he's not taking it anymore.
I think that in that first trade, didn't it show like a backstory with his son having an accident or no?
Yeah, I thought so.
In other words, he's playing football with his son.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And he ducks his son and his son impales himself on the fence. I'm like, holy shit!
Holy crap!
Yeah, they're playing football, and you know how he's trying to. The father dodges a tackle, and the son like dives over his father and impales.
Yeah, like launches over him.
He's like, off. Yeah, he spears himself on the fence. I was like, that's pretty violent, crazy. But I still don't know if there's some reality to some of the stuff that they're feeding him, or if it's all make believe.
Yeah, I don't know. And the art is... Manuel Garcia was really good. I liked it a lot.
Yeah, he did a good job. I think they've had a couple artists on that book.
I think they have the same... I don't know. I think they have the same artists, but different inkers. And you can definitely tell the difference. The inker they had on the first issue... Stefano Guardino was really awesome, and then they have different inkers on the following issues, and you can definitely tell the difference.
Yeah, on the first trade, it is Manuel Garcia, but then we get Matthew Clark, Manuel Garcia, and Barry Kitson.
Okay, well, those are three good names.
Yeah, they have. Similar styles. I mean, so it's not drastic.
Yeah.
Barry Kitson always reminds me a little bit of coming from the Kevin Maguire type because he does facial expressions really well. I think I'm further along than you, Bill. I think I'm somewhere around issue 8 or 9.
Yeah, and this one, it ends after he saves that girl, and then they're going off to find out the truth. He's gonna take her to break into that place and
yeah, she's got some powers.
Yeah. The girl with the powers.
I thought you were reading some Valiance Monthly, is that not true?
Archer and Armstrong.
Okay.
That's the only one I get in single issues.
All right. I have another book. This one I don't think you can get at order it. It's called Mythica. It's from www.ccpccomics.com. This is... We have a local artist in the Springs named Matt Campbell. And I went to a small hotel convention. And I didn't pick up much there. It was bigger than I expected, but I went with my stepdad. And I mean, father-in-law, stepdad. What the fuck am I talking about? My father-in-law. And
I was confused.
I paused there for a second. Did I just say that? But I went there and I didn't want to keep him going through long boxes and stuff because it was more of the convention.
Which, I was like,
Delcon.
Does Barb have a stepdad? Yeah.
She's got an adopted stepdad. I call him like a father-in-law, but he's not. He's not married to my mother-in-law, but he's been with her since I've known Barb. So I call him like dad, like another dad to me. But we always go see movies and stuff while Barb and her mom go shopping. And I went to this convention just for a couple hours and I picked up Mythica. It's only got two issues out. It's a very interesting story. The art's nice. That's Matt Campbell's the one that created the characters and illustrated it. It's written by William Tucker. And it's a very unusual story. It's like takes place in 1914, like World War I time frame. And it's about this guy that's a doctor. He's becoming a doctor and he's going to go help Red Cross type during World War I. And this girl that he's dating keeps having these visions of these Viking warriors. And it's just crazy because her visions seem real, but they're not. And it has so many plot lines going on that are very interesting. And I like the time frame. I like what's going on here. And I will continue to read it. I just probably get one issue a year. It's one of those things, I think. And it's a web comic, so I think you can check it out if you want at, let's see here, www.mythicacomic.com. And issue 3 is already available online, so you can read it. Or at least check out the art and see if you like it. I'd rather read the paper, or I'd go to the website and read number 3. Hopefully they'll have number 3 out soon, but it is cool. It's suggested for mature readers. It's a little violent, but there's like demons in Germany, and I don't know what that's about. There's a lot of storyline that has to do with hell, and this I think he's from Switzerland. No, he's a Swiss warrior. No, he's a Ireland from Ireland, and she keeps having visions of him. And he's like the only guy that's surviving the demons. And I don't know how that crosses into this world or not, or if she's just dreaming or what, but it's pretty cool. So, yeah, go check it out at www.mythicacomic.com and see if you like it. There's a lot of books here that seem fairly interesting from CCP Comics. They must be like a direct to, a small press publishing company that will let you get your books out. But I don't think you can buy anywhere, yeah, unless you go to that website, CCP Comics, and get them. Any more books?
I didn't actually read this book, but
but I'll comment on it.
Sure, shit am. Tales of the Teen Titans, number 69. It's the transformation of Lilith, and on the first page is a spaceship that looks like a penis. That's it.
For 69. 69. Dude,
Tales of Teen Titans.
Well, I heard a rumor that I like huge penises on paper.
Oh, I've heard that rumor too.
Unsubstantiated rumor. Some drunk guy told me that.
What number again, Micah? 69?
69.
I just want to see the cover real quick.
It's a cover. It's, I don't know, some Titan member, I guess, being tackled by Nightwing and Beast Boy, holding his hand out towards whom I'm assuming is Lilith. I know it is Lilith from reading the book, but from reading like the first 3 pages of it.
Oh yeah, it says Lilith. It looks like Zeus there, too. I don't
know. It's Zeus. Lilith is becoming a full-on Olympian, I think. And
Garcia Lopez art.
Yeah.
Ooh. I like his art. I'm a fan.
Is it old?
Yeah, people cry a lot. It's from 86.
75-cent cover price. Marv Wolfman and
much less than
Garcia
that.
Lopez. Jose Luis Garcia Lopez.
Mm-hmm. This dude cries like every page. I don't know what his name is even. I don't know that's
Pyra from Texas is crying all the time.
Yeah. Cyborg is mad at him though. For being stupid. What is this dude's name? Like seriously, he just cries the entire book. Did they ever say his name? Where's the goddamn roll call?
Crying Man, I think that's his name.
There's not a roll call in this one. What the world?
Wow, 69 is a reprint.
Of
New Teen Titans second series number 10.
Ah. Interesting.
Well, I think some of Tales of the Teen Titans was not like original stuff, and then towards the tail end it was all reprint.
Hmm. There's a scene where Nightwing tickles Starfire. It's really... Then they kiss and make out.
Sweet.
Yeah, the book. Nothing happens in this book other than that dude just cries the entire freaking book. I don't know what the name, what the guy's name. He has wings and like.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Hold on a second. I need to go to the other title.
The other.
New Teen Titans. I need to look up.
And yeah, look around, up New Teen Titans.
I think his name was Azrael. New Teen.
Hmm. Because Cyborg calls him Wings. He says, knock it off with the My Lilith.
I think that's his nickname.
Cripes. First woman you see and you go crazy. Cyborg is not amused by this dude's crying fit.
I need the deluxe series. So confusing.
I think that's why I never got Teen Titans back in the day. I couldn't figure out where to jump on. I couldn't figure out where to jump on because there was like too many series and it was in the hundreds. And
if they just had an issue number one, you'd have been right in there.
I'd still be confused. New Teen Titans, Teen Titans, Tales of Teen Titans. Too confusing for a poor 12-year-old.
It's funny, that they don't have his name in here, but he's on every cover.
No, literally, though, it's Nightwing tickles Starfire. Like, he's just tickling her.
That's sexy.
And then it becomes sexy very quickly.
That was my primary move back in the...
Well, you can't go past an issue one, so it doesn't matter anyway. Have you ever jumped on a book, like, at issue 45 and tried it? And treated it like a number one, like a jumping on point? Or do you feel like you have to start at the beginning?
He would have had to because he was reading some DC books. Didn't you read like Batman for a time and you didn't start reading at number one?
Right. And I used to get X-Men. Yeah, I've done it.
No, but recently.
Oh, great. No way.
Well, now that there's trades, like there's...
There's no need for that.
If I was going to pick something up, yeah, I'd get the first volume. But, yeah, back in the day, because when I was collecting X-Men, that was in the 80s, and I don't remember, it was in the hundreds.
Back in my day.
So I have, yes. Bastard. Daredevil. All that stuff. I used to collect that stuff, and I didn't have it from the beginning.
I don't believe you.
Fantastic Four, Spider-Man, all that stuff.
Or did you jump in with like Spectacular Spider-Man?
I did get that Web of Spider-Man number one.
Web of Spider-Man, yeah, those.
I just read the 90s Green Goblin. That was pretty good. Where he was trying to be a superhero.
Yeah.
It's not like something I would say is good, but I'd say it's very entertaining. I enjoyed it.
It made
for great like mindless reading right before bed. I read the entire trade in 1 week. It's like 16 issues. And I think I want to learn more about the Clone Saga because what I read, and this was around that time or the aftermath of it, and it seems interesting to me. I dipped my toe into the Clone Saga. Like, I know the Scarlet Spider.
Did you get the condensed version they put out?
No, I didn't. But I know they put an omnibus, and I'm very tempted to put that on my Amazon want list, and I might pull the trigger on it. I don't expect it to be great, but I expect it to be very historical and
interesting. It's a lot better than people give it credit for.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd like to read it too.
Especially after reading this, because this Green Goblin was like a loser dude that just ran into the vat of chemicals and he was able to put on the Green Goblin mask. This is after Norman and Harry had died.
Mm-hmm.
And he's Ben Urich's nephew. And now he's the freaking Hobgoblin, and now he's not good. But this guy just didn't want to... He just wanted to have the Goblin suit for fun, and he ended up being like a reluctant hero. But this led into Onslaught, and once he flew the damn glider into a Sentinel... And his mask was destroyed. He basically tried to be a hero for he tried to stop a mugging and he had no powers or anything. He says, I'm going to try to be like Daredevil. And he started throwing pumpkin bombs at these dudes. Let's go kick his ass. Let's go kick his ass. What is he throwing these fireworks at us? And he was eventually going to run out of the technology because everything he got, he ran into and stole. He couldn't make pumpkin bombs. He couldn't. But somewhere along the line, this guy becomes the Hobgoblin, and I'd like to read that too.
I'm a fan of the Clone Saga, because I haven't read the entirety of it. What everybody says is that it just goes on too long. But I guess if you remove from that, it doesn't matter that it went on too long, you know? Like, that's an issue in the 90s when you're reading. I think it's one of those things that people point to because it's easy to make fun of and no one's going to defend it. Like, no, you don't understand. The Clone Saga was really, really amazing. And you don't, like, no, no one's saying that. And since no one says that, it's easy to be like, the Clone Saga is the worst thing ever because it was stupid.
Yeah. This was from 95 and I'm enjoying it. And, I'm one of those people that don't think the 90s were shit because it was one of my favorite times because that's when Valiant came out. And it was a time of the breakaway from the big two, and it was exciting for me. Like, Image was forming, even though I don't have a lot of fond memories of those books.
You don't?
Of Image? I like Savage Dragon and Freak Force.
Freak Force is awesome.
Those were the two books that I really, really enjoyed. Yeah. Youngblood, it had some significance for me. Like,
I have number one.
I read it. And then Spawn, I do still like. Like, I have even the hardcovers because I...
Oh, really? I thought you had the single issues.
I have the single issues, too. I have almost an entire run of Spawn, minus maybe... 20 issues where I stopped when I was saving for this house and I just went back and got them.
I have a near complete run of Spawn.
I don't care for the current artist, but it's different, that's for sure. It's more like somebody that would draw Gotham Central or something, like a Michael Lark or...
Mm.
It's just a weird style for that book. It's not that it's bad. It's just weird for that book. At least I think it is.
I was trying to think of Image books that I kept with it all, and the only ones are Savage Dragon and Savage Dragon and Spawn, and the other ones I got maybe the first issue and they sucked, so I didn't go.
Some of them didn't last long. Some of them went like for it. I mean, Shadowhawk didn't go very far.
It did.
Did it?
Not continuously.
Not continuously.
It's like they had like about four or five miniseries.
Here's a mini. Here's a mini.
Yeah.
And
separated by 5 years each.
Oh, into most of the Shadowhawk, even the latest incarnation.
Cyberforce, that might have gone on for a little while.
Cyberforce, I never got into. Witchblade, I did. I have a long run of Switchblade.
Witchblade was later, though, right? It wasn't part of the initial. Was it what? Wetworks?
Wetworks? Portacio?
I think I might have just got the first issue of that.
I think I just got the first issue of that.
That's the start of my Image number one.
But Valiant, I have the entire run, and I feel like I know the universe, and I enjoy reading the hardcovers now that they're coming out again.
Yeah, Valiant was awesome when that came out, because it was like the first little cohesive world.
Yeah.
It was different than Image, because Image was not really a cohesive world. But Valiant was.
Yeah. What was the other trade you had?
Exterminator. You know, Extermination. By Simon Spurrier from Boom Studios. Volume 1. This is the one where it takes place. It's an interesting concept. It takes place in the future where this alien-looking race has decimated the planet, and these superheroes are left alive and they're trying to fight back. And it stars one guy who is the Batman analog, and then the bad guy who I'm not sure who he's an analog for, but the one guy is Batman, so he doesn't have any superpowers, but he has lots of weapons and stuff. And it's them trying to fight back against these creatures. And then at some point they run into other super powered beings who are in hiding, and they're going to go fight these bad guys. And I liked it, but I didn't love it. And I think it kind of bothered me. I couldn't figure out exactly why I didn't love it. And I think it's because I don't really like either of the main characters. Like, they're not really likable people. Either of them. And without that, it's hard to... I guess there was no one who I could really grab onto and root for.
I had that problem a lot.
And without that, it kind of... It was good, but it just... It didn't grab me enough. And the other thing I didn't like is they changed the artist partway through, and I didn't like the new artist as much as the old artist.
Huh. I read the first issue of that, and that was one of the ones that I was on the Simon Spurrier fence.
Yeah. I like the concept, but...
Actually, I haven't liked anything Spurrier's done except for that Cross we read.
Cross. Yeah.
And I even thought that Cross was like different. I think that's why I liked it. It was like it's so different from the other stuff I read, because it was a faction of people that are still living.
Yeah. See, and in that Cross, or in that story, there was a character who you could relate to, like the writer kid, right? Like, you're on his side, and...
I can't relate to any of those fuckers. I can't.
And you can relate to the Cross. About
Bill.
Maybe the woman painter I can relate to. I don't know.
You can relate to the writer?
No, I think that guy's twisted, dude. I think there's something seriously wrong with that fucker.
Oh yeah, eventually.
No, I think everyone he's a I think he's a manipulator, and I can't relate to that. I mean, he was manipulating people from early on using his writing thing. I mean, he wasn't like writing about it, but he's the narrator of the story, and I think he's got some twist. I mean, he turns out to be a hero towards the end, but is he really? I don't know.
Well, I mean,
in the whole world, I think the only way you could survive is to become your own version of Crossed. I think you have to be evil. You have to have some evil in you to survive in that world. That's the only way you're going to survive. If you're good, you will not survive. That's a crazy world, man. I got some quick ones. J.M. Rugitz Repossessed from Image Comics. This one is about a bunch of guys that are repo dudes that go repo. They get hired to go reclaim the souls of people that have been taken over and are possessed by demons. And they do it through some agency and some woman. And
hello?
Hi. I don't know what happened there. Everything went digitized.
They kicked me out.
Micah, are you back?
I think I hear Robot Micah.
Yeah. I think you got...
Micah, breathe.
Hello? I'm going to try calling him again.
Yeah.
All right, let's give it a shot.
That's what you get when you let Luke stay at your place. Hogging all the bandwidth. He gets lonely on the road.
He plugs in his phone to his wireless when he's in the mountains. Micah. Hello. I shouldn't talk about Repossessed, man. That's like some demon took over the freaking Skype.
Tell Luke to turn off the porn.
I can like hear background, but that's it.
All we can hear—I don't know if you can hear us, Mike. All we can hear from you is beep, beep, ruffle, beep.
Good lord!
Breaker,
1-9, breaker. Holy crap! It sounds like he's plugging in and plugging out.
I think he is. Use your other headphones.
That's weird. But did you actually get bumped off, Bill?
Yeah, mine disconnected. Boo, boo, boo.
Did you read Repossessed?
No, when did it come out? Is it like an older one?
It was this year. 2013, January.
Yeah, let me look here.
It was by J.M. Rugitz, and he did everything himself, so that falls into your ball. You know, you like creators that do the art and the writing.
I don't think I read this.
It was pretty good. I mean, I gave it 4 out of 5. I enjoyed it.
I don't know why I didn't get it.
Yeah. Did you read Black Kiss?
No, but they're bringing out the trade for it, so I'm going to get the trade.
Oh, my God, Bill. It's the nastiest book I've ever read in my life. I mean, it's like nastier than porn, but it's like chicks with dicks, man. I mean, it's crazy. But it's like succubuses that are in the Hollywood scene. And through different ages of different time periods in Hollywood. And, man, it's like a lot of sex. Are you back, Micah?
I'm back. I don't know what happened. Everything was bad and sounded like robots.
You're like, boop, boop, boop.
You sounded like R2-D2. And then it sounded like you were like, you had one of those old mics where you'd plug in and plug out. It was like,
that's what you guys sounded like to me. So I don't know what was going on.
Well,
so.
Bill got disconnected. Like, all of a sudden, I got a pop up that said, your recording has stopped. And then that's how I knew, like, I was talking to thin air. And then I heard a ding, like somebody got knocked off, and that was Bill. And then all I could hear on yours was background noise and
I heard static, and I heard like a slapping sound, like someone hitting like wood or something. I thought maybe there was a fight going on.
That was probably right there. It was Luke in the back room.
Yeah.
Slapping wood.
And then that was so I just closed Skype and opened it up again, and we should be good, hopefully.
Sounds better.
Yeah,
it looks like I did order Repossessed number one, so
it should have been out in January if you didn't get it.
It's so important. I probably read it, I just don't remember it.
Well, that doesn't bode well.
No, usually I can remember because if I read something.
Because that means that you wouldn't want the trade if you didn't remember.
Yeah, I did not get the trade.
So Black Kiss, I don't know what you'll think about it, Bill, but I'd like to talk about it because it's
a porny book.
It is beautiful looking. He could draw some good sex, I tell you. But I just finished it. I read 4 through 6. And I don't know what to make about it. I mean, I'd like to discuss it with you based on, other than the sex, like, what were they trying to, I know it was about succubuses and women that like sex and manipulated society, and they had, some of them had dicks, and I didn't understand. But it is weird. I don't know what the message was or what it was about, other than it was about Hollywood with some very sexually active vampire succubus. I'd say 75% of the book is in each issue is sex. Or somebody getting it or receiving it or getting spunk all over. And
I think I read the first issue of it. I remember when the original one came out.
I was tempted to get the original just to see, but I don't think I'm going to miss anything. Like, I'm a Chaykin fan, though. I do like his art, and I just read an old 1975 one called The Scorpion with Chaykin art, and it was nice. I do like his stuff. And then the last number one I want to talk about was Invincible Universe number one. It's guarding the globe. We can't succeed, so let's put Invincible's name on it. But it was a good issue. I didn't know the ramifications of Invincible number 100, and they didn't do a good job of telling you what happened, other than you're in this post-apocalyptic world. But it was a good issue. I'm gonna keep reading it. I liked it. It was not by Kirkman, it was by Phil Hester, and I liked the issue. I thought it did a really good job.
Is Invincible still going on, or
yeah,
yes,
okay,
it's issue 101 right now, I think.
And Todd Knock was the artist, and I do like Todd Knock from like Young Justice, like that's what I remember him from, and it was a good issue. I like the characters too. I don't know all of them, but I like this guy that's running things that his face is falling apart. I thought that was pretty cool. The only one I recognize is the guy who had his own series. I forget what his name is. But I didn't read Guardians of the Globe either, so I'm just jumping on because it's an Image number one. You guys got any other books you want to mention?
I'm fresh out.
A couple of quick ones. I read Fairy Quest number 2, 2 of 2, which is the Jenkins Ramos book about the fairy tale characters. And it was good. I don't know why they called it, well, 2 of 2, since it's open-ended. To be continued in Fairy Quest Travelers, so apparently they're doing a bunch of little mini ones. But I liked it, and the art was phenomenal. I read Sergio Aragonés Funnies number 4. Fantastic.
Always the books.
Yeah, I think I should just get this in single issues.
Well, I thought you were if you had number 4.
I got this like at a con.
Was it what is it called? Sunday Funnies?
Just no. Sergio Aragonés Funnies.
I don't think you missed much because I think Boom was no, not Boom, the guy. It's coming from the company that does the Simpson comics, right?
Yeah, Bongo.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was on.
I don't think they have much.
Did Sergio get hurt or something? I know he stopped doing it for a while, but I'm not sure why. But this one it's interesting because in this one at least, there's two main stories intermixed with all like little gag comics by Sergio. The first one is I don't know if it's a true story or not, but it's the story of how the guy who wrote Pinocchio was inspired to write Pinocchio. Like it was based on a real story that happened. So it tells the real story of Pinocchio. And then the second one is autobiographical about how much Sergio is into marionettes and how he got into marionettes when he was a child. And it was really, really good. So I need to start picking this up, I think. Because it's good.
Good
deal. And I like the autobiographical stuff.
Is that in trade?
I don't know if they've traded it. Probably.
All right. You guys want to jump into movies and TV?
Yeah.
I just want to mention one movie because Mike already talked about it. It was the Olympus Has Fallen.
Yeah.
I saw that. I thought it was really, really good.
Isn't it good?
I mean, it was. It's not like you have to think a lot about what's happening, but it the moment you sit down in your chair to the end of the movie, it's very entertaining, like incredibly entertaining. I liked it. Die Hard in the White House. And I liked how they did it, Micah, like the invasion, like the whole airplane, which I thought was actually going to land, was just kind of a diversion.
Yeah.
Like those dudes that were flying the plane knew they were going to get shot out of the air.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they were, like when you talked about it, you didn't mention it, but I think you said that they crashed and stuff. I thought people came out of it. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, no.
But no, they were just, that whole plane was a diversion. And they had an intricate plan with garbage trucks and everything.
It was crazy.
And they had people on the inside, which made sense. I just didn't understand why that guy would betray his company or his country.
It made no sense. And the speech he gave is the worst speech I've ever heard in my life. It's like,
all he said is my wife left me or something like that, right? Like,
No. The white dude? Wasn't he like
the agent that betrayed the country?
Yeah, he's like, I'm not a traitor. You're a traitor. Wall Street and stuff and stuff.
Oh yeah, he went on that terror. But later on when he tried, this was strictly a scene out of Die Hard.
They
had a scene in there where he goes and he tries to play the good guy, like I'm loose in the White House and I'm with you, buddy. Like, you know how the bad terrorist went out and said, I used to work for this corporation, I snuck away. It was the same scene out of there. And he mentioned something when he was dying about his wife, and that's why I thought all hell, but he was like, I didn't vote for you the first time. I don't
know. Yeah.
It was like, what the fuck?
like, who wrote this? Like, a real writer? Or was this like improv? They just laughed too much to leave it out. Like, they were like, we have to leave this in.
It was great.
I could do it as a joke or something. It's just.
No, but it was like a little war on the front lawn of the White House, man. It was like just mowing people down. It was crazy.
I was mad at those dudes for continuing to come out of the door even after you saw the first 20 guys get shot. You're like, you know what?
It's like, why are you
come out of this door?
Just shut the door, lock it, because then they got the RPGs and it was all over. I mean,
yep, yeah.
It was a good movie. I liked it more than G.I. Joe. I thought it was just good action from beginning to end.
I have not seen G.I. Joe yet, so.
Yeah. What else do you guys got?
Let's see. I know I watched movies. I watched more movies recently than I have in a while. I just don't know what I watched. I rewatched Salt. For no good reason. You know? It's... I don't know why I rewatched it, because it isn't like I liked it a whole bunch.
It was okay.
It's okay. I thought maybe I would like it more the second time around. But, like, when you know the end of the movie, like, when you know, like, what the whole story is about, it makes a lot of the movie kind of unbearable to watch. Like all like the double crossing, like triple twist, plot twist stuff is really dumb when you know the end of the movie already. Like, because of the plot twists aren't good in and of themselves, they're not good at all anyway. But like, it's exciting when you're watching the movie the first time and you don't know what's happening. You're like, oh, even though it kind of makes it super obvious to you. But whatever. What else? I know I watched something. I watched Tangled.
For the first time?
I don't think so. But
for
the first time since the Dollar Theater, at least. Because I don't remember it. So I must have watched it at the Dollar Theater because I don't remember most movies I see at the Dollar Theater. It's cute. It's a cute movie. I think all the characters in it are incredibly stupid, though. Like, they're... It's another movie that, in order to make it make sense for the plot to work, all the characters have to be incredibly stupid, and they are. They are dumb. Like the stepmother, like the witch who steals the daughter. All of her moves are like really dumb. Like, she could have spent all this time like making a more accurate, like, I don't know, like a nicer environment for Rapunzel to live in. But instead, she's like emotionally abusive the entire time, and some of that stuff is a bit actually hard to watch because it's really not nice or whatever. And but like, she's super mean. And if she had like just told Rapunzel what was up, it probably would have gone a lot better than it ended up going. And now she's like a really dumb evil witch. And then like the hero good guy dude is really stupid as a character. Like, he's dumb and vain, and I hate him. And, yeah. So, I didn't like it as much as I thought I would. Or as much as I... Yeah. It's dumb.
I liked it, but I don't remember if I had issues with it.
I just thought all the characters were dumb. I thought they were dumb. I don't like them being that utterly stupid. Someone else talk about movies. I gotta remember something I liked.
I watched one. I watched Hitchcock.
Oh, I want to watch that.
Yeah, it was really good. And I didn't...
Is this the HBO one?
It's the Anthony Hopkins one.
This one went to the theater.
Yeah. And I didn't know anything about it going into it, so... I didn't even know what the premise was other than it was about Alfred Hitchcock.
Another library one?
Yeah, library one.
Well, did you really like it or?
It was good. It was really good, because it's interesting because I don't really know a lot about Hitchcock, so it was interesting to learn a lot of the things about him that were in this movie, which I assume were mostly true. Although, who knows?
It's hard to tell.
Yeah. So this is the premise of this is it's about him making Psycho. That's what the whole movie is.
Okay.
Which, and I didn't know this. I didn't know that he financed it himself because no studio would do it.
Hmm.
Because they're like horror movies. Horror movies are stupid and don't make money, so we're not going to do it. And why would you, as a, you know, up-and-coming renowned, or not up-and-coming, a renowned director, why would you stoop to the level of doing a horror movie?
What was his hit before Psycho, do you know?
They said in the movie, but I don't remember which one it was.
You talk, I'll look it up.
Was it Northwest or whatever that one?
North by Northwest. Yeah, I think it might have been. I think that might have been. And it just made like a boatload of money. But they were like, we don't want to do a horror movie, so pick something. I think they had a movie for him. They said, we want you to do this movie. And he's like, no, I want to do Psycho. I want to do a horror movie. And they're like, no, why would you want to do a horror movie? Because I guess at that time, horror movies, well, as in all times, horror movies are seen as like the dregs, you know, the lowest level, lowest common denominator. But it was based on, he had read the book. It was based on a book, and he really liked the book, so. Well, it was based on a book based on the dude, so.
Psycho was 1960, and I guess it's
a lot by then.
Yeah, it was North by Northwest, Vertigo, Suspicion.
Yeah. Too Much, To Catch a Thief, like, yeah.
So he was more in the suspense, I think.
Yeah, like, and I guess Vertigo was a flop.
Birds was after. That was kind of a horror movie.
Yeah, Birds is after, and they kind of hint at the end. They kind of hint at that when he's thinking about his next project. So it's about that, and then it gets into his relationship with some of his leading ladies, and his relationship with his wife, and her story and stuff. It was really good. And Anthony Hopkins, I mean, yeah, he's Anthony Hopkins, so you know he did a good job.
It's Odin.
So many movies of Hitchcock I didn't watch.
Yeah, I'm regretfully.
I watched.
Shallow in my.
They're not all good, guys.
I would just like to see some of them, especially like.
All right, Man Who Knew Too Much.
Is that one good?
Yeah, the second version, not the first one.
I saw Rear Window. That was really good.
I've seen
North by Northwest. I really enjoyed that one. I've seen Psycho. That was awesome. Mm-hmm. I've seen The Birds. I enjoyed that. I've seen Vertigo. I didn't think that was a bad movie. Anything else I haven't seen?
Is that one?
Yeah, I haven't seen The Catch a Thief.
Do that one. I remember liking that one.
Wow, he has a lot of stuff, like in the 20s. Damn.
Oh, he made movies for a long, long time.
I guess he didn't hit it big until North by Northwest. I mean, big.
I think that was his biggest. But he was well. I misspoke when I said up and coming. He was well established at that point. That's why they were like, "What? You're crazy. You don't want to do a horror movie."
Yeah.
Because I guess at that time, all the horror movies were just like the campy B movies.
It was the '60s. They were all sci-fi stuff.
I did watch that Bates Hotel.
Real show.
That is.
How is it?
It was pretty freaky. I mean, it's freaky because you're seeing how he grew up. But man, his mother's got some darkness to her. Like,
I want to see it just because I love Vera Farmiga.
She is dark. Like, there's something going. Like, man, he finds his father like dead on the floor, and there's blood everywhere. And he goes and tells her mom, like, he's like, mom, dad's dead or whatever. And she's in the shower and she calmly comes out, you know, I think she killed him, but they don't say it right out. I think she was taking the shower to clear the blood off of her. But then she gets this hotel and then it just gets even creepier because the guy who had the hotel before attacks her and rapes her. Because he says you're trying to take this away from my family, even though she legally acquired it. But it's pretty weird too, because he seems to be a ladies' man. Like, all these girls in the high school like him. And it's weird too, because they try to modernize it. In other words, it's happening now. It's not happening in the past.
In the past, yeah.
Modern day. I think that was a mistake. I think if they made it more in the past, it would be easier to get away with things because of technology. Do you know what I mean? With cell phones and all this shit. I mean, they clearly have cell phones in this, like, you know, smartphones. And I think if they did it in the past, it would have been easier to get away with murder. But it's good. I'd recommend it.
And you know who the actress who plays the mother, who her sister is?
No.
The girl in American Horror Story.
Which one?
The daughter in the first series.
The daughter. Okay.
Like the main character.
It's been so long since I've watched the first series. But was she in the second one?
I don't know. I haven't watched the second one yet.
One other quick movie I watched is Guns, Girls, and Gambling. I was a little bit surprised about this movie because it had two actors I really, really like. Christian Slater and Gary Oldman.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a weird movie, man. I don't know if it ever made it to theaters, but I could see why it didn't. It was about a bunch of Elvis impersonators, and the whole mystery is who stole this mask, this Native American mask, because it's worth millions, or it's got some supernatural thing about it. But I would just rate it as mediocre. It's worth watching for free. Gary Oldman's hardly in it, really. And when he's in it, he's kind of out of it. Like, he plays a weird Elvis that's having heat stroke. Any other things?
No. I mean, not really, no. I was thinking.
I don't really have any TV shows.
Hunger Games is on Netflix now. I've seen it, but I wouldn't mind watching it again.
I guess the next one comes out this year.
Yep.
Big summer coming up, I guess. Every summer's a big summer, though, so.
There's a lot coming out this year, it seems.
Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking about it, and, like, there's a lot last year and the year before last, and there's going to be a lot next year, too. They just keep making movies.
It's weird.
Somehow they make millions of dollars, and yet they won't stop. Hundreds of millions of dollars.
I want to see that latest... Rob Zombie film.
You made another one?
Yeah, it's a horror film. It's out right now.
Oh, it's a horror film.
Oh, Rob Zombie did a horror film? Surprise. Yeah.
Well, I'm a fan of Rob Zombie's films. I didn't care for the remakes of the Halloween, but I've liked everything else.
I like Devil's Rejects and House of a Thousand Corpses. It's so stupid. It makes me laugh, but... Which one? Like, is it Lords of Salem?
Yeah. So
now.
Yeah, it just opened this week.
I had not even heard of that.
I would have seen it yesterday, except I had to work. So that's usually that's our movie day. So mess me up because I usually read 40 books a week, and I'm only going to read 20. Son of a bitch!
Whoa!
Damn! Then you fall behind, man.
Yeah, that's a way to fall behind. I still have the rest of today, but my parents are coming tomorrow, so I'll probably be cleaning house. Listening to podcasts.
Yep. We did some cleaning.
I haven't looked at Netflix lately, and there seems like a lot of new stuff. You want to talk about any food, or is there anything else you watched, Bill, besides Hitchcock?
Nah, I've been watching Trailer Park Boys, my Trailer Park Boys DVDs. Because I love the Trailer Park Boys. Who doesn't?
I haven't seen it.
It was a Canadian TV show about these guys living at a trailer park.
Are they living in a Canadian trailer park?
Yeah, Canadian trailer park.
Okay.
Trying to figure out what crimes they can do to make money.
Hmm.
While they drink and smoke a lot of dope.
Gotcha.
It's awesome. They did a couple.
You can go to Canada and be on that show.
They're not doing it anymore. They were doing a tour though. A live tour.
Oh.
Which I didn't see. They did a couple movies. I haven't watched those yet. I still have to watch the last season.
There's that Netflix original called Hemlock Grove I want to watch. It's Eli Roth.
Oh.
I'm adding that to my queue right now.
I don't think I've heard of it.
Oh, I found out. I was browsing Amazon Prime the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I found out that there's a bunch of like music stuff on there, music yep. movies. I was like, dang, there's like Replacements and I don't remember what else I added. There's a bunch of stuff. And on Hulu, I was very excited because I found out there's like 10 video game movies, documentaries on Hulu Plus.
On Hulu Plus?
Yeah. Some of them might be on Hulu too. I have to pull it up. Chasing Ghosts was on there.
I like that one.
Hang on, let me get to it.
Some of them are so dumb.
But I'm so excited to be able to watch these. And there was one, I actually started to watch it about Dungeon Masters.
Oh, God.
About D&D guys. It's like
Is Keith on it?
I haven't got to that part yet. What's it called? Let me see. Okay, here's some of them. There's a pinball special one lit, which is a pinball one.
Yeah, I talked about that one before. Yeah, it's amazing. You need to see that one. Oh, dude, it's so good.
There's High Score, which is about Missile Command. High Score and Missile Command.
I love Missile Command.
It's probably about that one Winker dude who's in those other movies.
Yeah, there's what King of Chinatown, which is about professional video game player Justin Wong.
I know. Well, I don't know him, but I know who that is.
He's big in the Street Fighter 4 scene, apparently.
Yep.
Ecstasy of Order, the Tetris Masters.
That's great.
I got Next, which is a Street Fighter one.
Have you started watching them or no?
Not yet. I started watching The Dungeon Masters.
Was Keith in it?
I haven't found him yet. I think he might have been there, but I think he was dressed up in a cosplay costume. So,
wearing panties? Rolling an eight?
He's bending over, showing off his panties.
Daryl will get a kick out of that because he says Keith has a vagina.
So I'll be watching those. I'll be going through those because I love those. Love them. Oh, love them.
They are a riot. But really, Special One Lit should be the next one you do because that is truly amazing. Like, that world is fantastic. This
Pinball World, yeah.
Yeah, it's so it's so old. And the people who are
in it. I'd like to see the Missile awesome. Command, because I do like me Missile Command. I like that that game translates well to the iPad.
You can just touch stuff.
And you just touch stuff, yeah. Some of them horrible to the iPad, like Tempest.
I can't imagine.
So fucking hard. You can't
see what you're doing.
Yeah, I need a spinning dial, you know what I mean?
Yep.
Did you say, Bill, that you didn't like, I think, if I remember correctly, Friends with Kids?
Yeah, I can only make it halfway through, or like a half hour into that one.
Hmm.
Bunch of pretentious bastards. I hate all the characters in that.
But you like pretentious movies, so I don't know.
It wasn't the movie that was pretentious, it was the characters that were pretentious.
You like pretentious movies, but...
Yeah, not pretentious people.
Ooh, have you guys seen Extract? That's a good movie. Extract? That's by director Mike Judge, the guy who did Office Space. Butthead. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Butthead.
That's a good movie. It's on Netflix. Cool deal.
You saw Extract?
Yeah, I have. I saw it at the theater. I was
in the theater?
Office Space that I went to go see that. Now it's just... the only reason I ran across it is because it's on Netflix.
Yeah.
I'm trying to add movies to my queue now because I haven't done it in a while. A lot of stuff that looks new. Sometimes it takes a while, it seems like, to get new stuff on Netflix, and every now and then they get a batch of...
Yeah, new stuff.
A lot of stuff, yeah. Any food you guys want to mention?
We had Indian food last night.
Yeah, not a fan.
I love Indian food. I love it. Oh, man.
It was really good. I don't know what I ate, but it was good and tasty, and it smelled delicious, and it went down excellent. So,
I can sound so appealing.
No, that's not true. The appetizer, I don't know what we had. Like, I don't know what any of those things were, but they were fantastic. I'm assuming they were all vegetarian because it was the vegetarian platter. But I don't know what any of those things were. I think one of them might have been like a fried cauliflower, possibly.
And I'm going to say it was probably cauliflower, potato, chickpeas.
Well, the thing is, there's one thing that was like sort of an egg roll with stuff in it, but there wasn't cabbage. It was just other things. And there's another piece of item that was another vaguely breaded vegetable thing. See, this doesn't work. This doesn't work at all. Because it's really tasty. And yeah, I just can't describe any of it. The onions are good. I had a chicken vindaloo, which was like chicken and potatoes and a sauce. And it was spicy and it was good. That's it.
Hey, do you guys dare me to watch a movie called Pop Punk Zombies?
Of course.
How awful is it going to be?
Pop Punk Zombies? Because, that sounds not good.
Yeah, it's a high-powered music agent. Brings three recently deceased rockers back to the grave to form the first zombie punk band.
You'd like that.
Speaking of...
Jump on that.
I mean, I did watch... I still wasn't going to talk about it. A movie called Interstellar 5555. It's the companion anime movie to the second Daft Punk album. And there's no words in the movie at all. It's just... Basically, they just put the Daft Punk album on play... And then there's a movie that plays to it. And the plot of the movie is that an evil sorcerer, but you don't know that he's an evil sorcerer at first. So spoilers on that. An evil sorcerer kidnaps people from the space planet where they're excellent at music and brings them to Earth and makes them into pop stars. And whenever they make a number one selling record, I don't know what he did for Beethoven because they didn't have records back then, but... whenever they have a number one selling, whenever their musical power reaches its peak, then he throws them into a lava pit and takes their power to remain useful, I guess. All of this without a single bit of dialogue. But the movie's fantastic because it's completely ridiculous. And it was done by the same guy who did, like, all the 70s space anime in Japan. So, like, Captain Harlock and Galaxy Express 9999 and so forth. So, yeah. It's really weird. But the zombies, like, the music agent reminded me of this because the guy plays an evil music agent before he's turned into a sorcerer who then feeds off the life of the rock stars. I'm done.
Interstellar 5555555?
Yep. Nope, just 4 5.
Okay.
And Interstellar with an I-N-T-E-R-S-T-E-L-L-A. Interstellar.
Interstellar.
Yeah.
Stella!
Hey, Mike, have you ever heard of some anime called Dead Leaves?
Nope.
I'm going to try and watch
it. I thought you were asking me, and I was like... Hell no.
Wow, it's on Hulu or Hulu Plus or something, and it expires in 2037.
Wow, what an awesome licensing deal. Hulu Plus won't even be around then.
That's awesome. I better get on that quick.
It's cool that it tells you the expiration dates for some of these things, though.
Yeah, that is nice. I could prioritize.
Well, next time I would expect you to bring some documentaries with you. Some video game documentaries.
It's so much fun to watch.
I will. Oh, and for food, I'm going to try and make either naan or pita bread.
Good deal.
Naan is really tasty.
Yeah, I think I might try naan and fry easier than pita bread, too.
Yes.
So I think I'm going to try that first. Because I love naan, and you can't really get good naan unless you make it or get it at a restaurant.
Yeah. You can't go to the store and pick up a, you know.
I don't even know what naan is. I thought he was a super villain from Superman 2.
No, that's naan. It's different than naan. It's pronounced totally differently.
I am going to make a super villain.
Naan. Are you saying N-O-N? Like naan?
N-A-N.
N-A-N?
A-A-N.
A-A-N.
N-A-A-N. Nan.
So I think I'm going to do that today. That'll be my afternoon experiment.
Good deal.
Garlic in it.
Probably do some with garlic, some without garlic.
Yeah.
So is Luke back yet?
Nope.
Where'd he go? Which museum? NASCAR?
No. Yeah. Yes. He's definitely looking at the NASCAR Hall of Fame right now. No, he went to both the Mint Museum of Modern Art, or no, the Mint Museum of Art and Craft, and then the Mint Museum of other stuff. There's two Mint Museums. One's about one thing, and one's about something else. I don't remember their names. Technology, maybe?
Well, we're going to Heroes finally, I think.
Okay.
So, we have a hotel. We just need to do the flight and the work thing. It looks like a go. Are you going, Bill?
I don't think so.
Are you going to Baltimore?
I've never been to Baltimore.
Oh. Well, maybe you can go to Baltimore this time.
When is Baltimore?
It's later in the year. I think it's October, September.
We'll have to see. I am going to C2E2 next weekend.
But that's in your backyard. It's not there.
This is September. Baltimore, beginning of September. Yeah. 138 days, 18 hours, 4 minutes away, according to the website.
There you go. All right. You want to wrap this up?
Yeah, let's do it.
This has been Geek Brunch episode... I don't know.
I have no idea. What a way to fizzle out.
It's one of those numbers. We're in 179, 180.
If the internet worked, 180.
180. So we're getting close to 200, slowly but surely. You can
we'll start our plans.
We got to have a countdown on our website.
We wouldn't know what to count down towards, though. Like how many hours? We have no idea.
Yeah. We could estimate.
We could guess it.
We record almost every other weekend. Sometimes we have exceptions. If holidays or something get in the way.
You can always we'll just reset the calendar if we're off. If we miss a weekend.
You could follow us on Twitter at DBM00, at Mike Myers Brunch, or at @do_what. We have a Facebook page if you look for Geek Brunch Podcast, all the spaces in between, and click the like button. You can follow that. You can leave us an iTunes review. We'd appreciate it if you go to iTunes and leave a review for Geek Brunch. You can go to Forum for Geeks. We have a thread for every episode there. You could comment and reach us there. I think that's close to it. Anything else? Email Mike, Micah, and Bill at comicbooknoise.com. We had a question from Ryan. They were kind of odd, but maybe I should go to it.
Oh, maybe you should.
Ryan King. I need to find it. We had one on Twitter, too. Damn it, I forgot to mention it. Damn it. Well, I remember the one on Twitter. I just don't remember who it was from. Oh, it was from at Billy Delicious. He says, what are the thoughts on the chances of the Guardians of the Galaxy movie doing well?
It'll do well.
Critically and commercially.
I don't know about critically, but...
Critically, who knows?
You think it? You said it will do well?
Yeah.
It hasn't. I think there's a 50-50 shot. I think it has a potential to do well, but it's one of those things that you roll the dice on.
Yeah, I'm assuming they'll advertise the hell out of it, so...
Yeah.
By the time it comes out, people will know about it.
Yeah, but it's animated, too.
Not entirely, though.
I thought it was.
No, I thought it was real life.
That was live action.
It's live action.
Really?
It's just a raccoon in a tree in it.
It'll be computerized.
I mean, there'll be a cartoon raccoon.
To
cartoon
answer your question, we have no idea what we're talking about.
Absolutely. I just assume that if Marvel puts it out, it's going to make money.
I think it's animated, though.
I disagree.
I don't think it's animated.
I have nothing to prove you wrong, but I'm just going to disagree on principle here.
Well, I think it is
because they hired actors. Like they hired actors who don't do
voice
like,
actors.
No, they hired like actors.
We need to find out, but
you need to know it 2 weeks from now. When no one cares anymore, we'll give you an answer.
Okay. Okay, so that was his question. I say it's 50-50. Micah says it'll be a hit, and Bill says it'll be a hit.
I didn't say it'll be a hit. It has a chance.
It'll be in 3D at least.
I truly believe that movies could be hits based on when they come out.
Well, yeah.
Totally. I think that certain movies, they just hit at the right time. Like G.I. Joe, I think if it came out when Avengers was out, it would have flopped.
Right.
I think it succeeded because they waited. So that was a good move. I don't know. We'll see. Let's see if I could find Ryan's email. That might be kind of hard because I post too many damn pictures. Ryan King. Ryan. Entertainment at its best. Mike searches pictures here.
Well, Bill tries to find out if Guardians of the Galaxy is animated or live action.
It appears to be everything I've seen is saying live action. But like
it's James Gunn directing, and he doesn't
Yeah, like nothing.
Done animation
like,
before.
No one involved in this has done animation work. So.
I don't know. I saw a picture and the raccoon looked animated to me.
Well, he's going to be animated. He's a cartoon.
Yeah, they're probably not going to get a real.
They're not going to get a real raccoon.
I think they interviewed some raccoons, but they couldn't find a good one. So
they couldn't find the best acting performance from the raccoon. They couldn't find Bruce Willis from.
I hate the new Facebook page. It's got all that about shit on the left. Fuck that. I mean.
Facebook page.
Yeah, they got stunt people. They wouldn't have stunt people for an animated movie, right?
Not really.
Unless I guess they could if they did like those little white dots on people.
They do that kind of thing, but like.
Prosthetic makeup sculptor.
Nope. That's not CG.
Yeah, it's live action.
So,
hair designer. Yeah, you don't have hair designer and makeup designer for animation. There you go. Proved it. And it's got that wrestler in it. You wouldn't get him just for his voice.
No, you wouldn't.
Get him because he's a goddamn monster.
Zoe Saldana, Michael Rooker.
He's playing Groot? What?
No, Drax. Batista's playing Drax.
Oh, that's awesome.
So it's
what's the release date on that?
Never.
2014. So August.
Ryan's questions are very interesting. What is your favorite color?
Brown.
Black.
I'd say green.
Sweet.
What is your quest?
To see with eyes unclouded by hate?
To destroy all Monty Python movies.
Mine is to read everything Jack Kirby ever did and drawn, see it.
That's a good quest.
That's reasonable.
What is the average flight velocity of an African swallow?
That's a stupid question.
I don't really care, but I'd imagine it to be pretty damn fast. Because I think, isn't that video you posted, Bill, with the birds? Weren't they swallows that were doing that? Or was that not you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, I thought you posted a thing about like the swallows in Australia that were diving, and it was somebody else.
Nope. And I'm not a Monty Python fan. Is that where the questions are from?
Yes.
One of those movies.
This was the Monty Python? All of them? What is your favorite color? What is the quest?
I know the barn swallow one was.
The swallow one.
African swallow?
Unladen. Oh, that was an unladen swallow.
Unladen swallow.
I didn't even get that because I don't watch Monty Python. Not a fan.
I've seen the Holy Grail. So.
I've seen parts of the Holy Grail, like the guy getting his arms cut off. And I've seen part of the one where the guy's eating and I can't eat another bite.
It makes me laugh. I can't deal with Monty Python as a movie, but I like in 3-minute snippets. I like Monty Python.
Oh, like sitcom snippets. Yeah.
Yeah, like if it was like a YouTube clip.
Did you like the TV show?
Yeah, I love the TV show. I like the TV show more than the movies.
Yeah, I liked Fawlty Towers.
Yeah, I've seen Fawlty Towers. It makes me giggle whenever I see it, but I don't watch it. So like. I think I didn't grow up watching them. I grew up seeing like 3 minutes here and 3 minutes there. So that's all I can handle of it.
I like Blackadder.
Like Life of Brian was just too much.
I like Rowan Atkinson. He was in some of that Blackadder, wasn't he?
I like Cheesecake. All of them.
I like him, but I've never seen that. I'm a Mr. Bean guy kind of guy.
Yeah, Blackadder's good.
All right. Well, we'll talk to you guys in 2 weeks. Have fun with Luke. Is he leaving soon, or is he going to be there for a while?
No, he leaves tomorrow.
Ask him how he's doing this. I want to know, and then tell me.
I will ask, and I will let you guys know on the show in 2 weeks. I think he must have killed somebody and gotten the inheritance.
Why are you on the run?
That's awesome. I mean, it's something that I admire to do. I just don't have the cojones.
And he just said he's traveling just with a black satchel full of cash.
It's like the
it keeps with him at all times.
It's like the jerk. All I need is this chair, this lamp, these boxer shorts, and a van.
Mm-hmm.
And a Walmart. I'm okay. All right, cool beans. Talk to you guys soon.
Yep.
But
do you want me to?
Will you be report? What was that?
I recorded it, but I'm missing that one small like.
I'll just put it together.
Are you sure?
Because I sliced it in.
Yeah.
I have everything else other than that robot chunk.
Oh, that's fine. I'll put it together.
All right. That was really weird.
Because me and Bill talked while.
Well, I was off
for about 5 minutes.
Mike was probably talking on his side though, so you should like merge the two together.
Oh no, you can't hear what I'm saying. I'm just like, where the fuck did you guys go?
I want that. Send me that. I'll merge it in.
I'll just send that piece. It'd just be robot noise.
All right. Well, I'll talk to you guys soon. Oh, Bill, will you go to C2E2 by the next time we talk, or? Is that just around the corner?
It's next weekend.
Oh, well, have fun.
Fantastic.
You're going to go both days?
I'm not sure yet. For sure one day.
Cool beans. I'll call you. But do you have a fancy phone yet?
Nope.
God damn it.
Cheap phone.
They take pictures and stuff. Like, nope.
I was going to say, take pictures or I'll text you or I'll call you when you're over there, but your phone is like a flip phone.
I can get texts on it.
You can get texts, you just can't text back.
I could, it would take a long time.
Keith, I thought you would get a smartphone before Keith, but Keith has one now. His texts just don't work.
He beat me. In the technology war.
Yeah. All right. Have a good one, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye.